wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Good morning and welcome to Our House here at WWDB. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway on a sunny, highly trafficking day. Oh my goodness, like people. I have to say it was crazy because during the COVID time when nobody was allowed out on the road and there were those few times I had to come in, the traffic was wonderful. I'm just like, really? Like bumper to bumper, taking all these back roads to get here today because of the traffic on 76, losing my connection for directions. Oh my goodness. Let's do a traffic show. No, let's not. Well, I am delighted that you are here to join us at Home Improvement Fix and Facts today. And as always, our lines are always open at 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306. And you know, at the top of the hour of my show, I always get all my house cleaning out of the way. So my big one is we're still looking for some jingle and some intro music for Home Improvement Fix and Facts. I love the song that we have, but I need to make something my own, and I'm looking for some musicians out there that want to give me some little upbeat jingle or upbeat little background music for Home Improvement Fix and Facts. You know, something that you can lay your claim to here at the Beasley Media Group, because we have some great radio stations here. And it could be your claim to fame. You know, you get to hear it every week. So if you know someone or if you are so inclined to put together some fun music, we have a cash award prize that'll be going out to the winner of whoever comes up with my little jingle for Home Improvement Fix and Facts. And just send it here to the station, or you can send it to me directly. You can text me if you have questions at 610-812-7366. That's 610-812-7366. Or you can always go online, find me on Instagram or Facebook under Home Improvement Fix and Facts, and you can reach out to me there with an IM. And I am looking for somebody who's excited to get their little fame to claim and claim to fame. Yeah, I think I said that right. Something like that. Anyway, so we're looking for a little jingle. We have a great show today. We're going to be joining Joanne Gaskins shortly. She's the Vice President of Scores and Analytics at FICO, talking about what's happening in the market right now. And then later on in the show, as we're getting ready to wrap up the summer season, oh, I hate to say that, it makes me so sad. We are going to have contestant Top Chef Season 4 winner Ryan Scott here. He's going to be joining us as we're getting those barbecue grills cleaned up and wrapped up for the season with a couple last-minute fun little cooking ideas and recipes on the grill. I know it's Home Improvement Fix and Facts, but, you know, like, we like to do fun stuff. And so many of you have spent so much time fixing up your outdoor spaces that we want to make sure that you put them away correctly. So super, super important that you do that. I am happy to say that slowly, ever so slowly, lumber prices are coming down. But if you're still looking at doing some big renovations in your home, you might want to hold off a little bit. Everybody's raising their prices across the board, and I don't think we're going to see huge decreases in lumber. I really don't. I mean, they're coming down, but once they're getting the money, once the companies are getting the money, really, do you really think they're going to say, oh, okay, let's give it all back? And it's the same thing in the plumbing industry and just the construction industry in general. We're seeing increased prices across the board. Keep that in mind when you're going to do your projects and you're ordering things. You talk to your contractors and your architects and your designers. Have open communication right now because things are out of control. I mean, months. It's taking months and months and months to get plumbing fixtures. Simple things that you could normally get in 2 weeks. And I say that because I feel the frustration, not just on my end and not just on my husband's end, who is a carpenter contractor and a very good one at that, But I feel the frustration of being able to get the things that you want. You're ordering doors, you're ordering windows. Don't settle for what you don't want just because you can get it sooner. It might not be the best thing. If you have your mindset on a certain, you know, appliances, holy smokes, some things, like, we're waiting. We're just waiting. So please keep that in mind. And the other thing that comes to mind, and this is why I decided to talk to Joanne today, is because interest rates are truly at their all-time low. For example, an APR on a 30-year mortgage is down to 2.478. That's like one of the lowest rates we've seen in forever. And a 15-year mortgage is down to an APR of 1.85. So for those of you that are looking at refinancing or maybe getting your second home, your FICO score is super, super important. And for some, I said important like a New Yorker. That is really funny. But the FICO score is huge, and I like to tap into it. I've tapped into it before here, but during this economic uncertainty over the past year due to COVID-19, you know, with this global pandemic going on that still hasn't ended, the average U.S. FICO score stands at 716. That's 8 points higher than the average from 1 year ago. In addition, those with lower scores in that range of 500 to 599 improved dramatically from like a 581 as of April 2020 to like a 601 in April of 2021. So for those of you that have had the frustration, maybe you've been dealing with apartment issues, and I will say if your credit is in order and you've been renting an apartment, you could probably get a house cheaper with the interest rate than what you're paying for a mortgage, probably half the price, believe it or not. It might not be your dream home, but you might want to consider buying a house right now. The unfortunate part is those that are going into foreclosures, and there is a lot of that going on right now. You know, what do they say in the foreclosure market? Like, it's a treasure for somebody else. Somebody else's loss. And you hate to think that you're buying a house on the disadvantage of somebody else. But it's the way it's been working forever. So knowing that the interest rates are as low as they are, knowing that there is still assistance grant money out there that you don't have to pay back, you might want to be one of those people that considers buying a house as opposed to renting. Landlords are going to be jacking up the rent. Let's face the facts. I mean, they've suffered too. I mean, you're not paying your rent and the landlord's not paying his mortgage on the house or the apartment that you're renting. And it's kind of a vicious circle. So we asked Joanne to join us. And I think it's important that the FICO score, just so you understand, and we've talked about this on a previous show, probably 8 or 9 months ago, maybe even a year ago, is an independent standard measure for credit risk and serves as a baseline metric for assessing both lenders and consumers. And recent calculations show that 232 million U.S. consumers can be scored by FICO score suite, which is 90% of credit eligible population in the United States, which I think is just crazy that we're doing all this. And Joanne is, as I said, the vice president of scores and analytics at FICO. And I am delighted to bring her on board and see what she has to say. So let's see if she's online. Hi, Joanne, are you there?
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, it's certainly my pleasure. Thank you, Carol.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, it's been tough for people and businesses with the COVID going on and the economic uncertainty. So I think this is really exciting that you talk to our listeners about our FICO score and what we need to do to keep everything in check and the risks that we're taking right now. So let's break it down. What is a FICO score?
Yeah, well, that's a great place to start. So FICO score is a broad-based independent standard measure of credit risk, and it's really considered to be the common language used across the financial services industry. So lenders, consumers, and investment bankers all understand what it means. It is a score that is ranging from 300 to 850 typically, and it's taken from information that is furnished into your credit report. So that's Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion have information about how you've paid your bills in the past. Well, our algorithm or the FICO score resides there in order to calculate what's the probability of this consumer being able to pay their bills as agreed.
Okay. Now,
No, please go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you, you know, we know that it's important to have a good credit score, but how do they exactly use that score?
You know, the score is used along with other ingredients to make a lending decision. And so most lenders have a view towards what is the credit risk that they're willing to take. And then they extend credit based upon the score plus other elements in order to come up with a fair price for that consumer. And one of the things that I think is really important to point out is if you are going, as a consumer, going to be applying for credit, you can go to the MyFICO website in the credit education section, and you can calculate what the interest rate would be based upon your FICO score and then what your resulting payment would be. So it's a great opportunity to shop for yourself for what is the fair amount of credit that I ought to take on and what is affordable for me.
So does that allow you to negotiate the rate that they want to give you based on your credit score?
Well, it's an educational tool, but it's allowed you to be empowered to go in. No, that's, I think it's a fair question. I think that sounds like a really great tool. But I would say, you know, it allows you to understand what's the norm within your geographic area. And so you feel empowered to go in and have some knowledge when you apply for that credit.
Okay. So, Joanne, the last 18 months has been crazy. How did the COVID-19 pandemic impact credit in the United States, and what kind of trends did you see?
You know, this is very interesting. So on a recurring basis, FICO tracks what the average FICO score is across the country. And so what we found is it went up 8 points during the COVID pandemic to 716. The 716 is a pretty high if we think about the range from 300 to 850. And so we said, well, let's dig in a little bit deeper and try to understand why this might be. And so, Carol, what we found was that, you know, delinquencies really dropped during the COVID period. And I think we can attribute that some of that to government stimulus funds, you know, trying to provide a soft landing for folks, as well as the CARES Act, which allowed for payment accommodations, or meaning deferring the payment on your mortgage until you are able to get reemployed or see cash flow improving. Consumer debts also decreased dramatically. So consumers were paying down their credit card debt. And so that's a really large factor within your FICO score. Fewer consumers were actually looking for looking for credit. So applications were down. And, you know, the one thing that's really important to remind everyone is that the FICO score doesn't consider a payment accommodation or fair forbearance program to be negative. And so that was also very, very helpful to keep people's credit protected during this time period. So, you know, one of the things that we've all talked about internally is, you know, we found also, you know, we were paying down our cards too because no one was really going out to dinner or doing any of those other things. So, you know, expenses seemed to drop during the COVID period in some instances.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting because you say that they don't frown upon it on the FICO score, but yet lenders are making it harder. You know, I've heard because we deal with a lot of small, very small businesses and sole proprietors, we've been hearing on our end that it's been harder for them. Their credit is better than ever, but it's been harder than ever for them to get approved because they are a very small business or they're sole proprietor and they can't show the records of income during COVID. The banks have made no allowances for COVID.
Oh, well, it's important to note that, you know, the FICO score is just one ingredient to that credit decision, right? So they are going to look to make certain that there's cash flow positive. And so that's important. The other thing we've noted, which is really interesting during this time period, is a lot of small businesses or entrepreneurs are really relying on their personal credit rather than a business credit. And so, you know, it is important also to focus in on how they're managing their personal credit in order to make certain that they can get a line of credit or some other assistance during this time period.
Right. So for our listeners, it's really important to know what that credit score is and what tools you can do to increase it. So what educational tips do you have to help our listeners improve their FICO scores?
I think the key is understanding what are the key ingredients into the FICO score so that you can actively monitor and look to understand how you might affect your score. So the very first thing that's the most important, as you would imagine, is payment history. And so if we are not current on our bills, we need to get current as quickly as we can, because that is going to be important. The importance of that delinquency is going to fade over time. So there is an important factor to understand here that your score is dynamic. It can improve over time. The amounts owed. So let's pay down any debt that's out there if we can on our credit cards. The length of credit history matters as well. So the experience in managing your credit is helpful. And then also making certain that you're not applying for credit. So we're going to avoid going out and applying for new credit cards. So some people feel as though that might improve their credit standing, when in fact, unfortunately, it does not typically. So the pursuit of new credit is not something that you want to do. But keep in mind, if you check your own score, it doesn't impact your score. So we always want to remind people that you can go out and check your score and make certain that you're monitoring it on a regular basis. The other thing I would share with you is if you go to the MyFICO website in the credit education section, we have a blog out there that's specific to consumers that are impacted by natural disasters, such as COVID or any of the weather-related issues that we're having in the southern states. And so there's additional information inside there that consumers can take a look at to understand how they could potentially improve their credit standing.
So all good ways to score better future, for
sure. Exactly, yes.
Yeah, so basically, consumers, what we should really tell our listeners and consumers is to really take a hard look at their credit, pay down what they can, don't go after new credit or open a new credit card or perhaps buy a new car, things that would affect you, especially if you want to refinance your home or something like that and take advantage of the low rates right now.
The incredibly low rates. That's exactly right, Carol. That was a wonderful synopsis.
Joanne, quick question before I have to let you go. I've noticed on some of these credit reports, you can boost your score. They call it boosting. Is that worthwhile? Is that something that our listeners should be checking into?
It is absolutely something that they should consider. So the Boost is a product that is distributed by Experian, which is one of the three credit bureaus. And a consumer can elect to share information that would come from their checking account into their credit bureau file and look to see if that additional information could help, quote, boost their score. And what we find is the consumers who have little credit experience, you know, meaning like not very many trade lines or have not very many years at this, there is an opportunity for them to improve their credit score using the Boost program.
Okay, great. All great information for our listeners. We want to talk about helping them secure those loans that they're looking for to lower their mortgages. And one more time, Joanne, before I have to let you go, where can we send them for more information?
Please send them to myfico.com, consumer education blog,
okay.
Pandemic.
Pandemic. Awesome. Very important. I so much appreciate your information for our listeners. And if things change within the industry, please come back and join us again.
Absolutely. We'd love to.
It's just so important. I thank you, Joanne. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just so important to be aware of your FICO score. And that's why I bring it up on Home Improvement Fix and Facts, because even if you're trying to get a loan to do a renovation on your house or a home equity loan or anything, just buying a new house in general, your FICO means everything, and you can't have a home and fix it up if you can't get in one. So I think it's really important. MyFICA.com consumer education/pandemic is what you want to go to if you want some more information. I think important topic for so many of us. Some of us have exhausted our funds. Some of us are better off than we were, believe it or not, before the pandemic. But I think it's important that we take care of where we live and try to stop paying rent if you can. And try to get yourself into your own home. And like I said, it doesn't have to be your dream home. Let it be a stepping stone. You know, just make sure you pick an area that you feel comfortable in, that you know that has a good resale value, particularly close to some good schools. I know the ratings just came out for school districts throughout Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, our listening audience. Thank you very much. But you might want to look at things like that, or where there is some more rural areas, the more countrified, that might be up and coming in the next 5 years or so. So please look at that. With interest rates at an all-time low, check your FICO score. Make sure you know where you rate on all of this. And you know, so for some of our listeners, this is so unimportant; it doesn't matter to them. But there's a lot of people out there that want to get into their own home, or maybe they're falling behind where they are and they're looking at moving around, or maybe they're in a rental. And I would say when you're paying about $1,500 a month for a rental and you can maybe drop that by about $500, that's pretty big to own as opposed to buying. So nice little trick. We're going to take a quick commercial break here at Home Improvement Fix and Facts, and we'll be right back with Chef Ryan Scott.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. To 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
And we are back. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. And it is like summer is winding down oh so very quickly. It breaks my heart. And some of us are only summer grillers. Some of us start the minute the last snowflake is done and go right through to the first snowflake of the season. And I am hoping that during this time, if you have been a year-round griller, that you have been taking care of that grill that you have. You know, first and foremost, do you have a clean grill? And because some of us don't cook after, you know, the fall weather, after it gets crisp, you want to make sure that you are storing your grill away properly. So I think it's really important that we talk about how to clean your grill and how to get it ready into storage for the winter if you are not somebody who grills. If you're somebody who grills all year round, good for you. I don't, because I wish I could, but I hate the cold. I'm a three-season gal, and winter is not one of them. And I heard Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be a long, long, cold, snowy winter. And Farmer's Almanac, I think they say, is 80% right. So I'm going to be curious to see how that goes. But before we get into taking care of our grill and how to clean it and things that we need to do to store it away, if we're going to store it away, and we're going to be talking about gas and propane and charcoal and all of that, I had a great opportunity to talk to Ryan Scott. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because even we all have either done our outdoor areas and put in these beautiful barbecue grills and pits and things like that, or we've revamped our kitchens in some way. And if you love to cook, and I love to cook, and I know so many people that love to cook, even my little 5-year-old grandson loves to cook, I thought it would be fun to talk to Ryan because he one top chef. He is now an Emmy award-winning celebrity chef, and he's made appearances on morning and daytime programs like the Today Show and the Good Morning America show like dozens of times. And he also has cookbooks out. And I just thought it would be fun to be able to talk to him and find out like what he thinks about grilling at this time of year. I mean, we just had Labor Day. And I think Ryan and I mentioned that because I did get to talk to him last week. So this one is a little pre-recorded. But I thought it was really interesting to be able to talk to him. And, you know, for those of you that love to grill and like to do as many things as you can, I thought it was fun to reach out and have a celebrity chef here, a real celebrity chef. We've had them before on the show, being able to talk about some of the fun things that they're doing. And we bring this segment to you, Compliments of Acme. So, hey, Ryan, are you there?
Good morning, Chef Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for joining me this morning. It means a lot.
Oh, and thank you for joining our listeners and me. And we're super excited. It's kind of like the end of the cookout season, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, summer's almost over, but we gotta squeeze it in where we can get it, right? So
exactly, especially after all the rain we've just had. So
how are you guys? How's everything going in Philly?
Everything is going well. It blew through a couple little tornadoes kicking up here and there, but we're in good shape. So yay! And it's beautiful.
Talking to me on the 2nd of September, saying that 2 tornadoes just went through Philly.
Yes. It's been crazy. But anyway, I'm so glad that you're joining us. And, you know, outdoor cooking trends and definitely chef-inspired meals on the grill and campfires have never been so easy and so much fun. So what is your secret to making, you know, fun on-trend food without compromising the quality of ingredients?
Yes. Well, after being on Top Chef and also a father of 2 young girls, which, by the way, is the ultimate Top Chef challenge, it's definitely taught me how to be creative with pretty much any ingredient. My little young daughter, Olive, she keeps me on my culinary toes. So my daddy/secret weapon in the kitchen, it's using high-quality, clean, pre-prepared ingredients. And now a brand that I love and I totally use and stand by is Open Nature. The Open Nature line is available right now at your local Acme. And it has tons of product that you guys can help make super delicious meals. And I always say this, ending in any day with a why. Whether they're gluten-free pancake mix or they're air-chilled, no antibiotic ever chicken, I know that using Open Nature that I can be confident the food that I'm buying for my girls, my wife, my family, is not only going to be super delicious, but also clean and minimally processed too, which is really clutch these days.
Products I use all the time. I want to get to Top Chef in a couple minutes because I love that show. But let's talk about breakfast. And like we all love pancakes, so especially my grandkids. Oh my goodness. What's your favorite pancake hack?
I am a pancake fiend. Definitely during quarantine, it was like, how many different iterations can I do of pancake? And lately, because summer is all about adventure, I've been camping a lot with my family and we've been inviting our friends, and I'm creating lots of little cool breakfast tips and tricks. But the biggest thing is when out camping, I want to have minimal cleanup with minimal tools. And trust me, dishwashing is not my jam, but pancakes definitely are. So I've been working with this amazing product from Acme that I made my campfire mason jar gluten-free blueberry pancakes all I have to do is pre-portion my gluten-free mix inside mason jars. And when my family or friends come up to me, and by the way, I still do cook even on my day off, all I have to do, I just add a little bit of eggs and some yogurt and some berries. I mix and shake the whole thing up. I cook it off on the griddle, and it makes them absolutely perfect. And getting something like a great free product like the gluten-free pancake mix, it really does help a lot. And Open Nature has plenty of innovative products to cover all lifestyles. Here's the thing. They have everything that shoppers are looking for. We're all looking for gluten-free these days. We're looking for plant-based and also some high-protein food options, too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You said a secret ingredient there. You said yogurt?
I know. I put yogurt in there. And you think about it, what would you do? You would normally put buttermilk inside your pancakes. So think about what yogurt would do. Yogurt's kind of acting like a buttermilk. It's the southern boy in me. You can't take it away from me. My grandmother's from Oklahoma. No matter what it is, I got to throw something in there that has a little tang to it.
Oh, gosh, I love it. I like that a lot. I'm going to try that with my kids for sure.
You should. What I always do is I put it in the blender. So put the yogurt at the bottom of the blender if you want. Then fold your berries in at the end, and it makes a super easy blender pancake, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm getting hungry. Okay. That sounds so delicious.
What about lunch?
We're not
eating through the radio.
I know, but we can surely get everybody hungry. Send them to Acme. What's something that we could use for lunch to, like, really fuel up?
Yeah, I've been thinking about new kind of lunch options lately, and I've got a chicken Caesar kebab wrap that is a huge crowd pleaser because everybody's wanting to entertain right now, but we're entertaining outdoors. So all you need to do is grab your Ziploc bag, you take some chicken with a little bit of garlic, lemon juice, olive oil, salt, pepper, chili flakes, and what I do is I let that marinate for about 45 minutes in the fridge. Another trick is in the morning, I'll actually pre-marinate the meat that I'm going to have for lunch or dinner while I'm making my daughter's breakfast for her or her school lunch. And then what I'll do is after these are marinated, I skewer them with some cherry tomatoes, if it's zucchini, onions, whatever it is that you like for school, whatever left in summer. And then I grill them off on each side on the grill in around 4 to 5 minutes each. A great rule of thumb, and I tell people this all the time, let your protein from the grill rest for half the amount of time that you grill them, and that will turn out the most perfect product every single time. These stellar kebabs are great. Yeah, they're super, super great. What I like to do is I take them off the grill. I take instead of a tortilla, I'll use romaine or a lettuce wrap, and boom, these turn into a carb-free afternoon snack. Open Nature does believe that food should be simple, and that's why everything in their line is made with no artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got breakfast and lunch covered. What about tips for a tasty dinner?
All right. What's your favorite dinner?
Oh, gosh, mine? Well, I usually like fish myself.
All right. Well, then I got you. I've got something. I call it my one-pan wonder. I've got my delicious southern skillet, and southern is in my roots all the way to the bone. So I do something that is called a southern skillet, and Open Nature has wild-caught North Atlantic sea scallops. I take those in the pan with some roasted red pepper, garlic, chicken, sausage. Are you hearing me on this? Sounds delicious.
You're
right?
Talking to me for sure. Scallops, yum.
So I sear the scallops in the pan. I take the chicken sausage in there too. I top it off with a little bit of beer, some heavy cream, and some butter. And this creates a reduction that gives these scallops just delicious flavor. What I like to do is use another pan, another cast iron pan, and I serve this skillet alongside some Open Nature gluten-free cornbread. Now you've got a meal packed with lean protein and ingredients that are minimally processed, free of 110 additives like nitrates.
Mm. So you're cooking your skillets right on the grill.
Right on the grill. That's
the thing
about cast iron. It's universal. It can go from induction to indoors to even on the grill.
Yeah, I love my cast iron. You know, so many of our listeners have put in all these new outdoor kitchens and barbecue grills and things like that. Is there a special kind of grill that you like to cook on?
You know what? I like whatever people are comfortable with. Some people are going with butane these days. I'm a fan of actually because I cook so much outdoors now. I hooked up a gas line and connected it to my grill. That keeps me from going down the store. And then also, after doing 111 shows on television during Zoom during the quarantine, I would have been running to the store to get butane constantly. So I always say, whatever you like, but I'm a huge fan of smoking meats these days. So smokers, grills, briquettes, whatever it is that you like, I just tell people, go with what you like. Also something that's with little minimal cleanup too. So just whatever you, whatever you're safe with and whatever you dig, that's what you should be working with.
Awesome. Now, besides Open Nature, which we love from Acme, what gave you the confidence to go on Top Chef? Because you were great.
Yeah, well, I thank you so much. I mean, going on Top Chef was back in 2007, and then when they brought me on, I just went on there and just had fun. Listen, you know, with me and nothing more. I got to tell you, though, working with products and working with places like Open Nature, everyday store brands are great resources when it comes to saving on grocery bills. So Open Nature is committed, just like I am, to providing wholesome goodness, new on-trend products that will fit anyone's lifestyle and their needs. The best part is eating clean does not have to be expensive. Acme's exclusive brands come with a 100% money-back guarantee, and that's something coming from Top Chef today that I'm still really proud of, a company that will give you 100% money-back guarantee. You can find all their products of Open Nature at acme.com/our brands.
You just answered my last question. We're going to talk a little bit more about you. I know I have to let you go because you're such a busy man, but what a pleasure for our listeners and myself to be able to talk to you this morning, talk about some great projects that are products that you're working on. And I will hang up and talk about some of your projects that you've been working on as well. So thank you, Chef Scott.
You're the best. I look forward to seeing you, and thank you so much, Carol. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Come join us anytime. You too. Bye-bye.
I will. Thank you.
And that was Ryan Scott, and I was so happy to be able to talk to him. I know this is a home improvement show, but like, what's a little cooking segment, especially when we're talking about getting our grills ready? You can find him online because he has podcasts. He's frequently a visitor on shows like Rachel Ray and, like I said, Good Morning America. And you can go look at some of the old seasons and see how he did on Top Chef. He's a pleasure to talk to. And I like the fact that he said he likes the gas grill and that he put a gas line in to his house, and I wish I could do that, and I wish I had gas. But I actually got a question, like, do I, thanks, Steve. It says, do I really have to clean my grill? Yes, you do. Absolutely. Not just at the end of the season, but all year round, you want to clean your grill, because if you don't prepare your grill, you'll have all kinds of crap on it, which means you won't get the same performance. And a cleaner grill makes for better airflow. And when the grill is grimy, energy is absorbed into the debris instead of cooking your foods properly. And who the heck wants to have leftover food stuck to their food that they're grilling? I liked Ryan Scott's idea about using your cast iron on your grill. I have a lot of cast iron, and I never thought to use it on my grill. So I'm going to try that. But if you're one of those people that packs up the grill for the winter, I'm going to go over the tips that you can do to get your grill in order. But anytime you're cleaning your grill, I would highly recommend some rubber gloves, because the grease and the debris inside the grill is just gross. And you really want to be careful to use the right tools, because you don't want to damage your grill. And some of the tips I'm going to give you are good for charcoal and gas grills. But for a gas grill, you really want to start with the interior and with the lid and the bowl. If they look really neglected, you definitely want to clean them. And it's just as simple as using, like I said, rubber gloves, warm soapy water, dry everything with a rag. If there's any grease or smoke stains on the exterior, use a non-lint terry cloth glass cleaner to remove them. They work really well. Many gas grills have stainless steel tables attached, so it's recommended to use a stainless steel cleaner. And be sure you use a microfiber or a terry cloth towel. Do not use paper towels, because some paper towels, believe it or not, can actually scratch. Also, follow the direction. Now, this isn't just a tip for grills. This is a tip for stainless steel in your kitchens, in your house. on your in your sinks. Very, very important. I brought this up before. Make sure that whenever you're scrubbing, you scrub in the direction of the grain of the stainless steel. This will help avoid scratches. And if there are some scratches, it'll kind of slowly get to work those scratches into the other scratches to make them less noticeable. If you feel that you have to use a cleanser on there, use something mild like Barkeeper's Friends, not a heavy-duty Comet or Ajax. There I go with name brands. But you want to make sure that you're doing a really good job to avoid the scratches. You want to open the lid. You want to take out all the flavorizer bars and the grates that are in your grill, and you want to brush them with a stainless steel brush and wipe them clean with a rag. Examine all the burners, the burner tubes. If they have debris on them, you can use your stainless steel brush. Brush up and down or side to side, depending on the direction of the burners. And if your burners go north to south, then brush side to side. Very easy. And then put all those flavor bars and grates back in. It's also a good time if those are damaged and need to be replaced. You're probably going to see a lot of these things going on sale in the next couple weeks. So if you need to replace them, start looking for replacement parts now. Better to look for them at the end of the season than the beginning of next season when you need them. If you didn't clean the bottom tray after you finished grilling last summer or this summer, you want to remove it and empty it into the trash. You can use a paint scraper to remove the debris, and then again put the flavorizing bars and the grill back. Close the lid and then turn on your grill on high for about 15 to 20 minutes, and this will burn off any of the debris that can cause food to stick. Doing a high heat cleaning, not just at the start of the season like you probably hopefully did, but on a regular basis, it helps reduce flare-ups. And think of it like you're self-cleaning your oven. Like a lot of ovens have self-cleaning, and you set it goes on high, it locks the door, you self-clean, and it makes it really easy to have a really cool grill that is ready for next year. And keep in mind, like if you've had enough of like barbecue and corn and all that other stuff on the grill and you're ready to move into the fall season, the barbecue can still work. You can do other things. You can do squash and things like that on the grill. So there is a lot more that you can do, but cleaning the gas grill at the end of the summer, especially if you're not going to use it, is going to keep it from getting moldy as well and keep critters out that are in there. And most gas grills have two drip pans, just so you know this. We did a show long, long, long ago on all different types of grills and what works and what doesn't work. So you might want to go back and listen to that, because the end of the season, good time to buy a grill. But they usually have a large grill that catches food and a smaller one below it that catches the grease. And it's usually fitted with like a disposable foil liner. Now, I will be the guilty person here. I never knew there was a tray under my grill till probably a year ago. It was gross. Like, I did not clean my grill, and I found this. Oh, now I'm like always looking for it. People don't know that these little trays are in their grills. And it's like a common mistake that people make. They either don't know to check the drip pans, or they don't even know they have one. So make sure that you like drain it and clean it, or throw it away and get a new one before the end of the season. When I found mine, it was gross, because I use propane gas on my grill. And then if you are going to clean your charcoal grill, you definitely want to start with the exterior, the lid, the bowl, all of that. If they look neglected, please clean them. Use warm soapy water and a sponge again and dry it with a dry rag. If there's any grease and smoke stains, again, on the exterior, just like a propane, use a non-lint terry cloth you can use glass cleaner on these too to remove some of the stains. Next, look inside the lid. If you grill a lot, it's pretty likely that the inside of your charcoal grill is going to be peeling. And that's not peeling paint, believe it or not. It's actually carbonized grease that is inside the lid that starts to peel and look like paint. Another thing I didn't know. You want to tackle the buildup with a stainless steel brush made for grilling surfaces. So keep that in mind. I keep talking about the stainless steel brush, but make sure you get one that is made for grills. And this way you know it's not going to scratch your grill. And then follow that up with a sponge and warm soapy water. Rinse it really well. If you're using a stainless steel brush with warm, still using it, not if, when you're using it, you want to make sure that you're cleaning the grates as well. The grates can be really tough to clean if you haven't done it and the food is baked on. So after you remove the cooking grates and the charcoal grates, tackle the inside of your kettle grill. And then if your grill has a blade system to clean the bottom of the bowl, use it to remove all the debris, because if it doesn't, you can just, you know, you can scrape it with a small little paint scraper. If you happen to have if it's outside, please make sure you cover it. Like, people don't do that. I know our grill cover, we spent a fortune for it, and it lasted maybe 2 years and started just disintegrating. So it's worth it to get a grill cover or get a tarp and pin it down with the tarp. If you do that, you want to make sure that you, if it's covered with the damper, you want to cover the damper. You want to keep it, the damper on a charcoal grill. Let me say this right. You want it open. Okay, there you go. And then the charcoal and the grill, it would have gotten mixed with water if you had it closed. If it was raining, it's gross. So leave that open when you are wrapping up your grill, just in case it gets any moisture inside. Pop the grates back in, close the lid, and then you're going to be ready for next year for grilling. When you are cleaning your grill, it's kind of, think of it like cleaning the broiler in your oven. For those of you that use broil your food, which I love to do, use like warm soapy water again, and use sponge that has that rough side on it. That's really going to help you get it really clean. I know last year my husband power washed the outside of our grill. It needed it. On a lower setting, you can power wash your grill as long as you make sure that the grates and everything inside are closed and protected. And again, once it's clean and it's dry, you want to, I would recommend letting it dry in the sun if you have that opportunity. And then with a charcoal grill, usually you can just wheel it inside the garage or a shed or something like that. But if you can't, please make sure it's covered. And just so you know, grates on a grill typically need to be replaced, whether it's a charcoal grill or whether it's a propane grill. They usually, you can get about 5 seasons out of them. So that's, if you're a year-round cooker, that's probably about 2 years. If you're just a summer cooker, that it could last you quite some time. But I think it's really important that you give your grills a really, really good cleaning. To make sure that when you open it up, there's no critters in there the next year. And one thing, this was really gross, at my mom's house, she had a grill, and she was getting ready to move. Of course, I didn't take the grill. She's like, oh, you can have my grill. Well, when we opened it up, there were beehives in there. So the bees, she never kept it covered. I'm like, that's okay. I think it's trash. but I really do think that is another place for bees to decide to make themselves at home. If you are grilling, if you're done grilling for the season, it's really important to make sure you turn off the gas line. People tend to forget, and I'm one of those people. After like blowing a propane tank twice, blowing it meaning I forgot to turn it off and all the gas escaped, I got really, really tough on making sure that I turned that propane off. So make sure that you do these. These are super little things that, you know, you don't want rancid food when you go to cook next year because you didn't clean your grill property. You don't want moldiness. You don't want to open your grill next spring or summer and have all of this yuckiness in there. Another good tool that really does a great job scouring food off the grill grates is a brass bristled grill brush. So if you find one of those are probably even a little bit better. So simple little things to get your grills put away and keep them safe and have no flare-ups during the season. And talking of flare-ups, Oh my goodness, how many people have done that? I did that not too long ago. I actually singed my hair and my eyebrows because I thought, oh, this grill takes so long to light up. I think I'll turn it on and leave the lid closed, and then I'll light the lighter. Big mistake. Whew. Huge explosion. So use care with your grill. And again, it's the end of the season. Do everything that you need to do if you're not grilling through the season, or even if you do grill into the fall. I will usually grill into the fall. I'll usually grill into October, and then I'm kind of done because I don't like standing outside in the cold. I just won't do it. And for those of you that have put those beautiful grills into your outdoor kitchen areas that you've done, make sure that you're cleaning up those really, really well as well. All the surrounding areas, make sure there's no food left in any of the little doors and drawers that you have outside, because we tend to forget. If you have any jars, condiments, or anything, because a lot of you have outdoor refrigerators, make sure that you clean those really well and make sure that you unplug them during the season, because hello, they can freeze too. Unless you have it nice and insulated where you can leave it running and keep your beer in there. I don't think too many of us do. But there's a lot of prep work to be done to get your grilling area cleaned up and ready for at the end of the year. And the experts will tell you to really clean it well before you put it away. As a matter of fact, when we did our grill, the stainless steel was so for lack of a better word, it was so well used and so well loved that after my husband had, I hate when I forget the words. When he had done the power washer on it, we let it dry, and then he got some Rust-Oleum paint and painted it. So it worked. It still looks good. But these are just little hints that you can do on your grill. And by the way, some other fun things that you can cook on your grill. Believe it or not, you can make garlic bread on your grill too, which is really cool. Put it face down instead of face up. And I just learned a new thing with my garlic bread to soften the butter and mix all the herbs and the garlic and chopped garlic into the butter and then spread it on top of the bread. Oh my gosh, it was delicious. So that's what we have for you for today. I hope that you enjoyed learning a little bit more about what you can do with your FICA score. I hope that you're getting your end of the season cleaning done on your grills and your outdoor areas, because it is going to be a mess if you don't take care of it. Next week, we will be taking a little visit with Verizon, as they like to join us every now and again, talking about what's going on in their market for your home and business in 5G. So we'll take a listen with them and have a little talk and see what we can do with what's going on with them. If you ever have questions or anything, you can always reach out here at the station. You can reach out to me at Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Like I always say between in my Instagram, because I love it. You guys send me messages and my Facebook page. And we're still looking for music. Holy smokes. Like I do. I really, listeners, pass the word on. I mean, we're giving away some money to be able to get Carol a good little jingle or theme song for my show. And I'd love to have that wrapped up soon so that going into the Christmas holiday, Hanukkah, aren't we in a middle of a Jewish New Year or something right now? I forget, Yom Kippur. We're in the middle of a holiday. So happy holidays to all you people out there. I can't believe I'm saying that in September. But fall starts in another week. So we're going to be bringing you some great fall information for your house. And we are also going to be taking a real hard look at your heating and air conditioning and breaking that down over the next couple weeks. And I'm going to see if I can find that, because I want to tell you who we have coming on. Here we go. Let's see. Torchetti will be coming on. I think I'm saying that wrong. Torchetti will be coming on to talk about the latest in HVAC systems, an overview of the most energy efficient cooling and heating systems for your home, smart home cooling, and what's available right now, whether it's your, what's the best leverage for your primary home or your vacation home, and energy saving tips. Like there's a whole host of tips and tricks and practical quick fixes that you can do around your house that can significantly enhance your energy efficiency. And I talk about stuff like that all the time. And when we're talking about your HVAC systems in your house, remember there's tons and tons of rebates. You just have to know where to look for them. So that's going to be a great interview coming up with us. So we got a lot of fun stuff coming up. And then I know that Monroe and Kent will be joining us again. Monroe and Kent Home. They were a great sponsor and huge contributor last year, especially when we were at ESPN before we moved over. And they are coming back, and they're going to be sharing what the fall trends are. So I'm super excited to have them back on board. And they'll spend some time, and hopefully they'll be doing their coat drive again this year, which was really fun during the holiday season. So a lot of stuff coming up. And I think we've kind of wrapped it up for today. So listen to me next week with some more great information on home improvement fix and facts. And remember, all these shows are podcasts. So if you miss something, you can always go back and listen right here at WWDB on the internet at Home Improvement Fix and Facts. We'll see you next week. Take care.